Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. And may our learning this morning be dedicated as a merit. Ve'ili nishmas me'ira chai nechama bracha le'ashalom v'as David Mordechai sheyichya. We are in Masechet Bechoros and we're dealing with the topic of bittul of tumah. If you have something which is impure, and then it gets annulled by a majority. So is that it? So now it's gone? The impurity is gone? Or do we say that basically the impurity is dormant? And if it's dormant, it can come back to life were something else to happen to it. So we could even start back on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. That's really where the sugya begins. We're towards the bottom of the page on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph from 22a. Reish Lakish says the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, if a person buys tzir is the liquid that comes out of fish. So he bought, and it's very sharp, this sort of fish oil or fish brine. So he buys the fish brine from an Amaret. So Amaratzim, we know, normally aren't careful about Tzuma and Tara. So here what you have is fish brine with water. Fish brine itself can't become tummy, but the water within it could become tummy. So what do you do to make it tahar? So Reish Lakish says you put it into the water of a mikvah and then it becomes tahar. Why? Because b'manavshach, if water was the majority, so it became tummy. Once you do hashaka, once you put it into the waters of the mikvah, it became tahar. If the majority was tzir, so the water can't become tahar through the mikvah, so then tzir itself can't become tummy. So what are you going to say? The little bit, the minority of water became tameh? That was batel in the majority. So that's what Reish Lakish says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya. So then we had on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Lo shanu el litvol behen pito. That's only true if you want to dip your bread into this brine and eat it. Avalik deira, but if you want to put this brine that's mostly tahor, because it's mostly brine and only a minority water, you want to put it into a pot, to season a pot, lo, it's not going to work. Why? Because in a pot you have a lot of water. So since when you have a majority of brine over the water, basically what happens is that the water, the tumah of the water gets sort of suspended because of the majority. But once you put the brine into a pot cooking other things, matzah min esmino, the water in the pot's going to find the water in the brine, re-arouse it, v'nior, and it'll wake it all back up. And that's the topic here. That's the topic is, when you have tumah that was batel, is it now gone entirely, or is it just suspended so that it could be woken back up?
Like what, Rabbi? Example.
Here we have the first example is the fish brine that has water in it. So we said that the water within the fish brine became tameh, then it was annulled by being in a majority of brine. But then when you put it into a pot of which has water in it, that other water is going to re-arouse this water and become tummy again.
So the whole pot becomes tummy now.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. So the Gemara starts with one proof, which we saw yesterday. And that is a Mishnah about grain that became tamer. Right? So if you look at the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, Vatnam looked at a Mishnah. Sa Truma Tzmeya. Let's say you have a Sa of Truma Tzmeya, Shenafla Lemeya, Chulin Torin. It falls into 100 Sa's of Chulin Torin. So now normally Truma is Batel, 1 in 100. So even though the Truma should be Batel, because it's 1 in 100. Rebbe Lezer Amar Lezer says, well, you also have to tear him. You have to take out a sav, a tirkav, and let it rot. And we'll say, Shani Omer, Husa, Shanafla, Husa, Shalsa. The sav that you took out, that's the sav that was tamei that fell in. Chacham say, no, you don't need to do that. Talet, the tuma became annulled, but even so it was annulled. Tayachal, you only eat from this grain in ways that it itself can't become tummy. Nikudim, if it's dry, or klayos, or if it was baked, popped in the oven without any liquid. Otivus prime pero, so you knead it with fruit juices. Otischalik le'iso, so you divided grain into small doughs. Ubavach le'ibim akum echad kibetza, as long as you don't have in one place an olive, an eggwort, so it can't become tummy. V'tani Allah, and we learned about this, Mishnah. Osan Chulin. Now starting today's daf. Those Chulin, right? Rebbe Elazar says you take out a sa. So according to Rebbe Elazar, you have two reasons why there's no tumah here. Number one, you had 100 to 1, you had bittel. Plus, you took out a sa, which we said is probably the sa that was tumah. So now the Gemara says, though, the Chulin that's left. The Rebbe Elazar, according to Rebbe Elazar, Mate Alein, how do you eat them? And the Gemara answers, according to Rebbe Elazar, also you eat them in a way that they couldn't become tameh. Yochlin nekudin, you eat them if they're only dry, never been rinsed. Oklayos, or popped in an oven without any water. Or you loshu b'mei peros, so you knead them with fruit juices that don't allow them to become tameh. Or tischalik l'iso, so you divide them into little doughs. Ubevach l'yei kebetz b'makom echad, as long as you don't have an egg worth in one spot, so you don't have enough food here to become tameh. V'amar Ula Nula said, Mata, what's the reason that you have to be so careful that the rest of these flour, the rest of these pieces of wheat don't become tummy? So the answer is, according to Rebbe Elazar, gzera, there's a gzera. And this is why I recorded this whole thing. If you have this case of a sa'a of truma tmeya that falls into 100 sa'as of chulin, which are tor, and then you took out a sa'a from it, we're still worried. Shema yavi kav chulin tmein mimakom acher. Maybe you're going to bring a kav of chulin, which are tamei, from somewhere else. And you'll take from this pot, or from this big bowl, a kav v'od, a kav and a little bit more, mimin zeh, from this mixture. And what are you going to think? You're going to say, Savar av tulin beruba. You're going to think that your kav of chulin tmein are now batel in a majority of one kav plus a little bit more. You'll say this one kav of chulin, which are tamei, are batel in a 1.1 kav of tahor stuff. Now really, kevan de'ikahai mashu, really, we're worried. And when you have bittul berov, right? When Rebbe Elazar says you take out a sa and you got all the tumah stuff out, it's not really that he's sure of that. It's a possibility. But what he's also relying on is that even if he didn't get all of the tumah out, the tumah was bittul in the 100. So when you have a bittul of tumah, so really it's there. It's just suspended. So since it's suspended, when you put other tumah stuff in with it, those other tameh stuff wake up this dormant minority tumah. And now you'll have matzah minis mino v'neor. A type will find its type and wake it up. And then you'll actually have a majority of tumah grains, not a majority of tahor grains. And really the whole mixture should be tameh. So what do you see? We've proven this point. You've proven that when you have tameh item that mixes in with tahor item, and the majority was tahar, so the halach is treated as tahar. It doesn't really mean it's tahar. It means you're treating it as tahar because the tumah is suspended. But were there be now a new set of numbers, the tumah would wake back up. The tumah would come back up again. And that explains the law about the fish brine. And even though we said with fish brine itself can't become tummy. Only the water in the fish brine could become tummy. And that water might have been a minority of the fish brine. So then the fish brine would have been annulling the water. But if you then mix that fish brine of which has water in it, if you drop it into a pot of other stuff, drop it into a chicken soup, you drop it into a tomato soup. So the tomato soup has tons of water. The tons of water re-arouse the water that's in the fish brine. And now there's no bittul anymore. And now it all becomes tamei again. So that's what Rav Yirmiyah had said to... So who had said this? This was said by Rav Dimi to Abaye. So Amar Le, Abaye said back, there's a difference. In tuma oreres tuma, if the tamei that we have here, right, and this Mishnah is not a proof to it. In this Mishnah, you have grains that are tamei. They will re-arouse the tumah of grains, because we began with a sav of truma tameya mixes with 100 sa of chulin, which are tahar. And then you had you know, you did your things, you bittul, plus you took out a sa. Then you have a kav, point one of this mixture, mixing with a kav of chulin tmein. So he said that the kav of chulin tmein could re-arouse the tumah that's in the 1.1, and therefore it's not going to be a majority of tahora to tumea. Okay, there you see that tame things re-arouse tumah. But you don't see that water re-arouses tumah. If I have fish brine to touch tumah, and then the fish brine was put into the mikvah, then I take the fish brine and drop it into my tomato soup. The tomato soup is not tameh before the fish brine. It's just regular tomato soup. It's just water. We don't see that water re-arouses water. What you see from the law of the grains is that tameh grains re-arouse tameh grains. Mm-hmm. So that's what he said. I'm like, im tumah oreres tumah. If something which is tameh can re-arouse tameh things, tahara oreres tumah, that something tahor, the tahor chicken soup, can re-arouse tumah that you didn't see. So it's not a proof to your law. So now the Gemara is going to go back and forth about this issue. Whenever we have tumah batel in a majority, does it mean that the tumah is gone entirely? Or does it mean what we are proposing, the tumah is suspended, but were the ratios to change, the tumah would re-arouse? Or if the tumah is only suspended, maybe one type of tumah is gone, but another type of tumah might still be here. Yeah, question.
So it's not 100% then.
Now we're going to go back and forth.
Is
it dormant or is it gone? That's the question. So now, Esve, again, very good, as Roger pointed out. When you have tumah items and they get mixed up in a majority with other items, do we now say that the tumah is dormant, or do we say that the tumah is gone entirely? And the reason why we're getting into this is because in our Mishnah, we said that if a cow had discharged a biscuit of blood, so we said that really there is nevela here, but the nevela is batel berov. The nevela of this cow that came out is annulled in the majority of blood and guk, as Roger put it. So we're talking about tumah, which is batel. So that's why this is an important topic for us. So Esve, come in here. I'll challenge you from the following source in regards to the ashes of paraduma. Ashes of paraduma, which are kosher, which can be used to purify someone, to be sprinkled on someone, have a tumah to them. The person who carries them or the person who touches them becomes tumah. So I'll challenge you. We learned afer kosher. Let's say you have ashes of paraduma, which is kosher. Shenis arev be'efer mikla, that got mixed up with ashes that can't be used. Right, let's say just ashes of a pot or something. So now, we follow the majority. Letame to create tumah. So therefore, if the majority is para ashes, so then if somebody touches them, he becomes tame. Like if he touches para ashes, the iruba efer miklahu, and if the majority here is ashes that don't create tumah, just ashes of a pot, lo metame, it doesn't create tumah. Now, if you're going to tell me what Roger proposed, tumah kimandi yisei tami, when you have a majority of something which is not tameh, and in the mixture there's a minority of something which is tameh, the tumah is nearly dormant. So therefore, nehidu b'maga lo metameh, even though by touching this mixture, I understand you're not going to become tameh, litameh b'masa, but if you carry the mixture, you should become tameh through transport. Because you're carrying it. You are carrying it. It's there. There's a tumah item there. You may not be touching it, but if you move this mixture of ashes, you've moved some paraduma ashes. Because the paraduma ashes aren't gone. They're there. They're just dormant. So the halacha is, let's say you take paraduma ashes, you put them in a bowl, and then you put the bowl into a bag, and then you put the bag into a knapsack. And then somebody else comes and he puts the knapsack on and he carries it. He becomes tummy for transporting paraduma ashes, even though he doesn't touch the ashes, because he transported them. So if you're going to say that the ashes, when they're in a mixture with other ashes, they are really there. They're just dormant. They're just sleeping, but they're there. So if they're there, when you carry this whole mixture of ashes, you should become tummy for transporting paraduma ashes, because the paraduma ashes aren't gone. So the Gemara says, okay. So that's what happens. Itmar Allah, we learned on this. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said, when you have a mixture of paraduma ashes with regular ashes, When did we say that if the majority is regular ashes, your tar means tar milatami b'maga, your tar from becoming tame through touch. Aval netami b'masa, but it would create tuma through transport, through carrying.
That's a min b'mino, right?
It's not even a min b'mino issue. You don't even need here the min b'mino issue. Because we're saying if it could re-arouse through min b'mino, that means it's still there. If it's still there, then when you carry it, you're carrying paraduma ashes.
Why can't you touch it?
You could touch it.
Why does touching not create tuma and then carrying?
Because there's a majority of efer mikla of ashes from a pot.
Why doesn't min b'mino arouse it back to be tame for touch?
For carrying.
Just like we said by the brine.
Yeah,
you're putting water, you're putting it into soup, and you're saying it re-arouses, and now it's tame, the whole thing's tame, min b'mino.
Okay, yeah, so
here you have min b'mino. So
here it's not so clear that it's min b'mino because they're so different in their laws. Right. One is tame ashes, paraduma ashes, and one is regular ashes. So it may not be
one
that already such
water
a.
Water and one is regular water. What's the difference? Oh, I mean, it's paraduma.
Well,
so
there's
a big
paraduma is a big difference. So that's one point. But even putting aside the issue of min b'mino.
I understand why the touching becomes. Because we said that that the brine becomes the whole thing becomes tame once you put water in a kedera, right?
Right, because there, what we had begun with was there were two different minim. There was tzir and there was mayim. So two different things. So the bitzel was by virtue of rov tzir. But once you put in water, it's not rov tzir here, it's rov mayim here. But when you have, para versus mikla, those are two different minim. So there's bitzel. Right, it's not the same thing here.
But that way, the whole paraduma in that bag, sagging its tame?
No, there's a special law of paraduma that the ashes of paraduma create tuma both by touch, if you touch them, a tar person touches them, or if you carry them.
I thought the person who brushed them,
correct,
gets tame.
And also the person who carries them, and also the person who touches them.
So where do they put this that nobody carries?
They become tame by carrying it. Yeah, that's right, just that day. So now the Gemara asks another question. Va'amar, again, on this point, that when you have a mixture of tuma with tahara, the tuma is merely dormant. Va'amar Rav Chisda, but Rav Chisda said, Nevela Bitela Bishkuta. If you have a piece of Nevela meat and that mixes with two pieces of Shachut meat, so the Nevela meat is Batel, and therefore there's no tumma if you touch it. Why? And it's considered a type with a different type, Nevela with Shkuta. Or the other way. In other words, once it was shachut, it's shachut. It can't become nevela anymore. So therefore, it's considered a different type. Therefore, when you have two different types, it can become bata. So now, according to what you're saying, that even when you have bitul, it's still dormant. True, you wouldn't become tami by touching one of these three pieces. The tami b'masa, but if it's still there, if you carry them, you should become tami for carrying it. So Amar Leis, so he said to him, "You're right again." Atun b'Rav Chisda Mastisala. You taught it as being something about what Rav Chisda said. Rav Chisda is an Amora, so he should have explained himself if this is the case. But Anan, we b'Rav Chia Mastinala. We said it was something about what Rabbi Chia said, who's a Tano, doesn't explain himself, and in fact, what you're saying is correct. There wouldn't be tumas touch, but there would be tumas transport. Because Tani Reb Chia was the one who taught on the Braisa, Nevela. If you have a piece of Nevela, Ushchuta, and a piece of Shechted meat, Bitelo Zubazu, they become annulled, one and the other. So if you have one piece of Nevela and two pieces of Shchuta, they become annulled, because they are called different types, even though this is meat and that's meat. But this is meat which could never become nevela, the shluta, and the nevela is never going to become shluta anymore, so they're different types. We learned about this. Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina says, when we say that it becomes tahor, it's tahor milutami b'maga. That would be tahor if you touch it. But if you carry it, you would become tamei because it's really still there. Since it's still there, it's dormant, and therefore by carrying it, you'd become tamei.
So, Rabbi, if the shaked meat gets mixed up with a dead meat, okay, so everything gets tamei, no?
Why? It may not have touched. They may not have touched each other. They're just in the mixture.
But if it's in a mixture, let's say in a pot.
Yeah, they may not be tamei.
The whole thing is tamei, correct?
If there's liquid connecting them, maybe, but that's not what's happening here. You know, you had a piece of nevela meat, and there are two pieces of shechted meat, and you lost track of what's what, and now you have three pieces of meat in a bowl. You don't know what's what.
So then what?
It's batel. It's batel in the majority. So if you touch them, you're tahar because it's annulled in the majority. But if you carry this bowl, you're tummy because you're carrying something which is nevela meat. The nevela meat hasn't lost its identity. It's just been lost in the bowl. It's just become dormant.
Is that the same idea as with the cheese? Mm. We learned with the cheese.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Now we finally get to our Mishnah.
Oh, that's not.
What about our Mishnah? Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov says, Behema gasa, if you have a big, thick animal, Shashafa charar adam, that discharges a biscuit of blood. Harei zuti kaver, bury the biscuit. Why are you burying it? Because maybe there is an animal in it, right? Maybe it's bechor that you can't get benefit from. V'niftar min ha-bechor, and the next child born is not bechor. The Tani Reb Chiya said, Eina mitamal b'magav l'b'masa. If you touch the biscuit, you're not going to become tamei. If you carry the biscuit, you're not going to become tamei. So now, in light of what we've been saying, amai, why do we have such a law? I understand that through touching you wouldn't become tamei because the majority is blood and gook. But to tamei b'masa. But if you have a minority, the minority is still there. It's just merely dormant. You should become tamei by carrying it. So Ishtik, Rav Dimi was quiet. He didn't have an answer. So the Gemara suggests like this. Dilma, maybe over here. Shiny up here, it's different. So havile tumas rucha. When you have a biscuit worth of blood, and we're saying in this biscuit was once a child that has broken up into pieces, the fetus that broken up into pieces. Maybe this fetus is so disgusting, it's not edible. And once it's not edible, it doesn't have tumas nevela either. Well, that's a whole question. That's a whole question whether nevela that spoils loses tuma. Hani chalabar pedah, that's a fine answer. According to bar pedah, damar tuma chamura. Even the strict tuma, namely the tuma of carrying lager. Once the food is not edible for people to eat, it doesn't create tumas nevela b'masa through carrying. The tuma kala, but in terms of the lighter tuma, the tuma of touch, then adla kelev. It would have to spoil to the point where it's not even edible to a dog. So then you could say, then you could say that this case, we're talking about meat, which is not edible to a person. Therefore, it doesn't create tuma through carrying. And the reason why it wouldn't create tuma through touch is because it's dormant and it lost its identity and all the blood and gook that's surrounding the former, what was formerly a fetus. El Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar who says, now turning to Chav Gimel Amid Beis, Achazu v'Achazu, both the tuma of carrying and the tuma of touch, Ad Lekelev, the nevela still creates tuma unless it's spoiled to the point that even a dog wouldn't eat it. So Achazi Lekelev, a harara that comes out of a cow, a blood biscuit is still edible to a dog. So therefore, there still should be the tumas masa. And why did he say that there was no tumas masa? He says, okay, Kasha, you have a problem. That's a problem. According to that opinion, it would be a problem. Okay, so now we move on from this discussion, from the discussion of when you have a minority of Tumma and a majority, is the status that it's dormant, or is the status that it's gone entirely? That was the discussion that we had till now. Now we move on to another discussion, and that is when you have Nevela, when you have a dead animal that wasn't Shechted, which is Tame, does it lose its Tumma once it's inedible to people? Or does it lose its tumma once it's inedible to dogs? In other words, the food is not a food. When you know, let's say there's a prohibition of not eating pork. If the pork has become inedible to people, then there is no prohibition on it. So what about the tumah? Does the tumah get gone also because it's inedible to people? So now we'll see. Gufa, let's learn. You just said. Bar Pidah, Amar Bar Pidah said, tumah chamura. When we deal with the high level of tumah, namely the tumah of carrying the nevela, adlager, once the nevela is not edible to a person, then there is no tumah chamura. Tumah kala, the lighter tumah, the tumah created by touching the nevela, adlakelef, is once it's not edible to a dog, then it doesn't create tumah by touching it. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan said, achazu v'achazu, both of them. Whether it is the tumah of carrying, and certainly if it's the tumah of touching, ad lekelev, it only loses its tumah if it's gotten so bad that even a dog wouldn't eat it. My time, I had to bar pita. What's the reason for bar pita? It's a pasuk. The pasuk says, lo soch lekol nevela, don't eat nevela. La gera sher bisharecha titnena, give it to the convert, give it to the stranger, the resident stranger who's in your gates, va'achalon, let him eat it. So we learn from it like this. Haru'il a ger, if it's something which would be eaten by a ger, by a stranger, in other words, by people. Kuya nevela, then it is the status of nevela. She'en haru'il a ger, if it's not edible, ain't a kuya nevela. Doesn't get called nevela. Doesn't have the tumah of carrying. The idach, now Rabbi Yochanan, what's he going to do with the pasuk? He'll tell you, this pasuk is lemute hecha de'esricha me'ikara. It's saying that if you had a nevela from its very beginning, in other words, when it was alive, it already wasn't edible to people. Let's say it was walking around, and its bones and organs start to rot. So it's unedible to people when it's alive. Then it gets killed. So then it wouldn't have the tumah of transport. But if it was a nevela once, and then it became inedible to a people, it still has the tumah of transport. The idach, the other one will tell you, yisricha me'ikara, if it rotted from the very beginning, lo tzarich kala me'uta. I don't need a pasuk to tell me it doesn't have the tumah of transport. Because afra ba'almahu, it was always dust. Now, the Gemara is trying to apply this to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, the animal gives birth to a clot of a biscuit worth of blood and guts. So isn't that Yisricha Me'ikara, ruined from the beginning? So Rashi answers, it's not called Yisricha Me'ikara because it was in the mother. And when it was in the mother, it was part of the mother. And then it was edible. So then it gets ruined. Okay, so that's not called Yisricha Me'ikara. All right, so now we looked at our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, or maybe I'm skipping ahead to the Gemara. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, if you have a big animal, a cow, that drops a biscuit of blood, I raise it to cover, you bury the biscuit because maybe there's bechor in it, which is holy, and you can't get benefit from bechor, so you have to bury it. But if teres ben bechor, now the animal is free from bechor issues. Rebbechir said, this biscuit of blood doesn't create tumah by touch, nor by carrying. The reason why there's no tumah is because the nevela part of the biscuit is batel in the blood and guts. So now, in light of what you've just said, my yirim is shemitzel barov. Why say bitzel barov? Typically, it's chazi klal. It's because it's not edible at all. From the very beginning, it was never edible. So my answer is what I just said. Hanami is chazi meikar agav ime. This was edible when it was part of the mother. When it was part of the mother, just like the mother was a food, this was a food. Now that it came out, it's sort of like something which was alive that now has sort of gotten bad. So it gets into this discussion of when things spoil. Tanan Asim lived in a Mishnah in Machshirim. Going back to the issue of brine purchased, fish brine purchased from an Am Haaretz. We lived in a Mishnah in Machshirim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Seir Tahor. Let's say you have fish brine that had some water in it that you purchased from an Am Haaretz. And then you put it into the mikvah. And then, shenafel esocho mayim kolshu, a little water falls into it, tame. It goes back to being tame. Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Bar Avua. Rav Nachman explained in the name of Rav Bar Avua, Zosomeres, what the meaning of this mission is. Number one, nechshedu ami aretz. First of all, ami aretz are tame, right? But the second point is, that next to do Ami Aretz, La'arev Mechza Mayim Bitzir. The Ami Aretz, when they sell you fish brine, 50% of that brine is water. So since 50% of it is water, when a little bit of more water falls in, now it's the majority of water and the tumah comes back. So Gemara says, Lamali Mechza, why do you have to say 50% is water? Afilu Batsiri Mechza Nami. Why don't you say that 49% of what they sell to you is water? Yes, yeah. When you have a little bit of water falling in, now it becomes 50%. 50-50 doesn't get annulled. Someone says, all right, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. The non-Jews sell brine with up to 50%. You know, it's 49.9% of that being water. So therefore, even if you made it tzar, then a little bit of water falls in, then someone's going to wake up again. Ibai is saying, well, certainly I could tell you like this. The reason why we said it's a proof that 50% of their brine is water, that's why the Mishnah would say that if a little bit more water falls in, it becomes tummy again, is because Tumas Am Haaretz Drabanan. This idea that an Am Haaretz is tummy, and whatever he touches becomes tummy, that's only a din Drabanan. Tumas Mashkin Drabanan. The idea that liquids that are touched become tummy is a Tumah Drabanan. Uberuba Gaz Drabanan. The Rabbanan made their decrees and imposed such Tumah when you have a majority. But palgo palg, if you only had 50% water, 50% brine, lo gazu berabbanan, the rabbanan would never have imposed their tumah. Okay, so that completes that discussion. Now we go back to the issues of bechor and the question of when you buy an animal, do you have to suspect that this animal has never had a child before, and therefore the child born when you have the animal is a bechor, maybe a possible bechor? Or you don't need to suspect those things. And under which scenarios do we say suspect and not suspect? So now we get into the question of when you have an animal nursing another animal, is that a proof? Or is that enough grounds to assume that it's nursing this animal, that's probably it's nursing its child, so therefore whatever's coming next from this animal is not a bechor? Or do we say no, animals nurse other animals, not necessarily their animals?
But if it's nursing, milk.
No, we saw already before that milk is also not a proof necessarily, because there's some animals that express milk without having had a child.
I think that's highly unlikely.
Okay, good. So let's see. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Alokeach behema meinika. If you buy an animal, a cow, that's nursing a calf, there's a calf hanging around with this mother, and it's always nursing from it. And over kochav, you buy it from a Gentile, you don't know what's what. You don't know if this cow has had a child before, and this is its child, in fact. Or maybe no, maybe it's never had a child before. It's just nursing some other cow's child. Ein choshen shem abnashal acheres hi. We don't suspect maybe this is the calf of another cow. We assume no, this is the calf of this cow, and therefore the subsequent children from this cow are not bechor. So now, what happens if nichnas l'soch edro? You go into your flock, and you have in your flock two sets of animals. One set of animals are animals that have never had a child before, and the other set of animals are animals that have had a child before. You have two sets. Verosam avkiros. And you see the animals that have never had a child before. And you see that they are menikos. They are now giving milk to children that are with them. And you see she'en mafkiros, and you see animals that have had children before. They're also menikos. They're also feeding children. Now you don't know which children are from the mafkiros, and therefore they are bechor, and which children are from the non-mafkiros and are not bechor. Ein choshen shem abnashel zu balo etzel zu. Again, we're not worried that the child of a mavkira, of a woman giving birth to bechor, is going to run over, of a female cow giving birth to bechor, is going to run over to another cow, a cow that's not giving birth to bechor. Oshem b'nashol zu, or maybe the child of this one, which is not a bechor, balo etzel zu, went to the mother that is giving birth to bechoros. But again, we assume that the child is nursing from its mother, and therefore the children that are nursing from the cows that you had separated aside, that you knew had never given birth before, those children are bechoros. And those that are with the mothers that had not given birth before, I'm sorry, that had given birth before, you assume are non-bechoros. And that's how you resolve it.
So then that's it. No bechor here for that cow.
Yeah, for the children. We assume that the calves that are with the cows are with their cows. They're with their mothers, and they would not be bechor.
So it's always assumed that's...
That's what it seems like from the Mishnah, that we assume that a calf nursing from a mother cow is nursing from its mother, not nursing from some other cow.
Yeah.
All right, so that was the Mishnah. So now we have a rule about this entire parak. Am Rav Nachman Ishmei de Rav. Rav Nachman said the name of Rav. Hilchas Bekulei Pirkin, the halach in this entire chapter, is like the Mishnayos. It's like the laws on the Mishnayos. Barmi plukta, except for those laws that are in the middle of a controversy. Then it's not necessarily the law like that. So Am Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, I thought... When Rav was falling asleep and dozing, he said this. Because what does he mean? Halacha is like the Mishnayos. Aha, in what regard? If you're going to tell me the first law of the Mishnah, namely the first law in our parak, where Ishmael says that there's a certain age, right? Up to a year for a sheep, up to 2 years for a goat, I'm sorry, a year for a goat, 2 years for a sheep, 3 years for a cow, and before that, you know, it's certainly a bechor. First of all, Miflik Pligu Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argue about it. Because Rabbi Akiva says, even if you didn't have a child, it could be a non-bechor, and therefore you could have discharges before the year. So we just said we're not paskening like that which is disputed. Elad Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, but what we just said in the last Mishnah, the law of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, if you have a discharge of a biscuit. But again, we don't even Rav for that, because Mishnah Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Kavanaki, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov hardly said anything. Whatever he says is very clear. We always pass on Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Elad Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So what? Rav's point is to say that halach is like this thing from Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that we say that the calf is with the cow, with its mother. Miflik Palig Braisa, but there's an argument about it in the Braisa, and therefore Rav wouldn't say halach is like it. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Be'ezus Hashem will continue tomorrow.